Today we celebrate the Sunday of the Holy Cross. This is the midpoint of the fast. Any of you tired of fasting yet?
Yes.
If you say no, that means you're not fasting enough. Okay, so if you're not tired of fasting, if you're not tired of it, if you're not sick of beans and rice, and well, that means you maybe need to ratchet it up a little bit. So, this is the midpoint of the fast. The church holds up in the midpoint of the fast for us the cross. It's called the Sunday of the Holy Cross. It's one of the feast days of the cross throughout the year. You know, we also celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Major feast day with basil leaves and all of that, you recall. And then we also celebrate during the Dormition fast. We carry the cross in procession. It's a minor feast of the cross, in a sense. During that time of the year, in Constantinople, for whatever reason, or maybe more mosquitoes or something, people tended to get sick. And so they would process through the streets during the Dormition fast with the cross, blessing the people, hoping to alleviate some of the illness. But during Lent, during the Great Fast, we have the Sunday of the Cross, which is kind of like those other feasts. We sing the same hymns, but a little different. It might recall for you Holy Friday, except you'll notice that when the cross is standing in the center of the church, which St. Elias develops, we can do all of these things, normally you have a large wood cross, but without the corpus on it, as a reminder that Christ is not only going to suffer, but he's going to rise from the dead. And so the feast of the cross, the Sunday of the cross, the midpoint of the Great Fast, is kind of like a little intermission. A little break. We recall that what we are doing is preparing for the coming death and resurrection of Jesus. Now remember, in all of our fasting and all of our prayers, what we are doing is imitating the early Christian catechumens. I've explained this to you before. The catechumens at this point are exhausted in the early church. They've been sucking on rocks and toothpicks for food and sustenance, okay? They've been praying all day long in the church. They've been hearing Bible studies all day long in the church. They've been receiving exorcisms all day long in the church for 40 days in preparation for their coming baptism. At this point, they were exhausted. Exhausted. The fasts were extreme. They didn't even bathe for 40 days. Imagine that. There was an allowance early on. They started to let them bathe on Lazarus Saturday, at least, to prepare for Pascha, because it was just getting too bad. You know, fleas and itching. And so they would bathe them before the baptism. This was extreme fasting in preparation for their coming baptism. Would that we appreciated what we've received in baptism like those catechumens did. Would that someday St. Elias might also have catechumens preparing for 40 days for baptism. We'll let them bathe, don't worry. Now, this is a time also the church asks us to reflect on our preparation for the coming Pascha. How have we, during this intermission, we can look back halfway through, how have we kept the fast? How have we improved our prayer life? How have we increased our almsgiving? Now, I don't know about you, but I have failed. I have not fasted and given alms and prayed in the way I would have hoped to this great Lent. And I would imagine some of you also could say, I had hoped to do a little more, but I kind of got weak on that day, or I was visiting some relatives, and so we had this, or, you know, this is just part of life. But what is the difference of a fool and a wise man? The fool makes mistakes, right? To be human is to make mistakes. The fool makes mistakes and doesn't recognize them or attempt to correct them. The wise man makes as many mistakes as the fool, but he gets up and tries again. He tries to improve his situation, right? The wise man. And that's what we are as Christians. We are called to be wise, filled with the wisdom or the Word of God. And so we, at this moment, midpoint of the fast, we need to look back and say, what have we done? We're halfway to Pascha. How could we maybe ratchet up a little bit? Or maybe, you know, reinvigorate what we had attempted at the beginning. And try again now. Recall all of the things that we are doing, you can remember in threes. Everything we do is Trinitarian, as you know. Remember, we are spirit, we are body, and we are mind. In everything we do, we want to raise, improve, increase, direct our spirit, our body, and our mind to the Lord. The church offers to help us increase or direct these three parts of our existence to the Lord with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Our prayer is intended to direct our spirit to the Lord, to unify our spirit with the Holy Spirit. That's our increase in prayer. How do we pray? Remember, when you pray, St. John Climacus, whose Sunday we will celebrate shortly, St. John Climacus said this: when you pray, remember, always begin with thanksgiving, praise of God. Thank you, God, for what you have given me. I praise you, I thank you for who you are and for what you have done. Two, we recognize who we are. Right? When we begin to behold God and His glory and we thank Him for what He has done for us, naturally then, we realize how inadequate we are and what we haven't done in that relationship. And so the second part St. John Climacus suggests to us is to confess our sin. Having given thanks to God and praised Him, we should then confess our inadequacies. You are my Father, but I have not acted as your son. I have not done what you have asked me to do. Forgive me. Help me. And then third, this is the one we usually go to first, petition. We all need on a daily basis, you need. You need to drink water. You need to eat. You need shelter. You need sustenance. You might need money. You might, whatever it might be. You might need a new car, a new house. Who knows? We have needs. We are creatures. And it's okay to need. God knows that. He's our Father. Do kids need? Of course they need. And as a father, as a parent, you know that your children need. And your children ask you for help, and you provide it for them, those things that are good for them. And so we ask in petition, third, for the things we need in life. And God expects to hear those needs. But we should always ask, Lord, I believe I need a raise, or I need a promotion, or Lord, I believe I'm going to need a new car here pretty soon, or I need a new roof, or whatever it might be. If it is according to your will. For the Lord provides for us the things that are good for us. Sometimes we ask for things that are not for our good, but we don't perceive that. How often does a child ask for ice cream at dinner? Right? Can I have a candy bar? It's 3 minutes before dinner. No! The child does not understand why they shouldn't have a candy bar before dinner. They don't understand why they can't have ice cream for dinner. Right? But you do. And so we may ask for things of God, and He looks at us like a loving Father, and He provides the things we need. But the things we don't need, but we think we need, He sets those aside. No ice cream. Right? Especially during Lent. So, prayer. Right? Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We are spirit, body, and mind. And so we pray in that Trinitarian way. We also fast to turn our bodies, our flesh, toward the Lord. We fast from the good things of life. We fast from food, which is good for us. We fast from drink, which is good for us. Right? You may fast from various types of food, whatever the case may be. You've determined that in your own fasting regime and in your family. And whatever you are drinking, maybe it's coffee, maybe it's soda pop, maybe it's wine, maybe it's vodka, I don't know what it is. Whatever the things these are, in small amounts, all these things are good for you. But you want to give up these things that are good. Some foods, some drink, and also the joys of life. Right? The fool says, eat, drink, and be merry. Right? That's it. Live life to the fullest. Forget everything else. So we give up food, we give up certain drink, and we give up certain joys of life during this time. Maybe you like to listen to Vivaldi on the way to work. Vivaldi is good for you. But this is something maybe you can give up. Maybe you like to listen to a talk radio station. Hopefully a good one. And you decide, I'm going to give that up during this time of Lent. I'm going to drive to work and just pray. Something like that. So food, drink, and the joys of life. These are the things we fast from. We train our body. We turn it toward the Lord. But we are also mind, right? We have an intellect. We have an intellect. And how do we train our intellect toward the Lord? How do we train our mind? We do this through almsgiving. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Almsgiving is what trains our mind and turns it toward the Lord. In almsgiving, as the bishop said last week, we are not to just, you know, shell out a few bucks out of our wallet, but rather we should give of our time, our treasure, and our talent. It's Trinitarian. Bishop Nicholas spent a fair amount of time talking about that with us. Our time. How do we tithe or dedicate our time, give a share of our time to the Lord? How do we do that? In the Old Testament, the Jews gave 1/7 of their time to the Lord once a week. Once a week, on Saturday, the Sabbath, it was dedicated 24 hours to the Lord. From sundown to sundown, that was it. It was the Sabbath rest. You spent time with your family. You went to the synagogue. You prayed the Psalms. And you meditated on the Lord's creation. That's what they did. The Jews did this in the Old Testament. 1/7. That's more than 10%. Right? The bishop asked last week, he said, how do you give a tithe, 10% of your time? The Jews in the Old Testament did more than 10% of their time. They did 1/7 of their time. Not 1/10. To the Lord. Are we doing at least as much as the Jews of the Old Testament? Or have they maybe beat us on that one? Are we giving 1/7 of our time, at least the minimum of what the Jews did in the Old Testament, to the Lord? Do we dedicate the day of the Lord, the day of the resurrection? Sunday is our day of rest, the day of the resurrection. Do we dedicate it to the Lord? Or do we dedicate a part of it? Maybe the morning, or maybe the middle of the day to the Lord. But early in the morning we work on this and do these things. In the evening we go and do these other things. Do we spend our Sabbath rest, our 1/7 of our time, dedicated to the Lord for 24 hours? I hope so. Because this is what the Jews did. This is the minimal dedication asked of the people of God in the Old Testament. And recall, in the Old Testament, God said, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus says, I say, don't even look at a woman lustfully. You have heard that it was said to the men of old, do not murder. I say you don't even be angry. How much more does Jesus expect of us than 1/7 of our time, if that's what the Jews did in the Old Testament? This is what the bishop was encouraging us to do last week. That's our time. What about our talent? The bishop talked about this last week. We all have talents. Some of you might be musically inclined. You might use those for gain or entertainment. Wonderful. How can you dedicate the use of that talent of musical abilities to the church? Maybe helping with the singing. Maybe going and ministering to those who are in need or sad and need encouragement by going and singing a spiritual hymn to them in a homeless shelter or on the street. Or the elderly in a convalescent home. How can you take your talent that God has given you and give some of it back to the Lord. He gave it to you freely. Right? Whatever that talent is, you know you've given this. It's a gift from God. Can we give some of it back to the Lord in some way? Maybe you have computer skills. Maybe you're good with numbers. Maybe you're good with teaching. Or whatever the case may be. Whatever the talent is that you know you have, and some of you are gifted with many talents, how can you give some of those talents back, in at least some way, to the Lord? And then three, and this one is the one that's pretty easy to figure out, and that is, in almsgiving, we usually think about the money part. But as the bishop reminded us, time, talent, and treasure. Now, treasure. How much do we give to the Lord of what He has given to us? The bishop mentioned again last week about the tithe. Tithe is an old English word meaning tenth, 10%. This is what the Jews did in the Old Testament. God gave them sheep, right? Or gave them a crop of barley or almonds or olives, figs. And they would take one tenth of it. Let's say they have 100 bushels of figs. They'd take one tenth of it, 10 bushels, and they would take it and give it to the temple or the local synagogue to be distributed to the poor. Or sometimes they themselves would take these bushels and hand them out to the poor on the street. One-tenth of what God gave them. God gave them, the Jews understood that God gave them what they needed, plus 10% more, so that they would have something to give back. Isn't this what you do with your children? Right? Daddy, I need some money. It's the day before your birthday. Yeah? What do you need it for? Oh, I just need some money for something. Okay, how much do you need? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. What do you want? $5? Is that enough? Oh, yeah, that'll be enough. Okay, thank you. And they're off. You know what they're going to do. They're going to buy you a little present. Right? You give them the money so they have something to give to you. This is what God gives to us. He gives us everything we have. The very breath we breathe is a gift from God. Every second, every beat of your heart. Do we give at least 10% back to Him? He's given us that extra so that we have something to give back. This is what the Jews did in the Old Testament. Now, you might say, I'm going to 10% is a lot of money. Well, it depends on how much you make. Right? Now, there's something, an interesting principle here. If you make $100 a month, $10 is a lot of money. If you're trying to survive on $100 a month, $10, you're not going to survive without it. Now, contrast. If you make $10 million a month, and there's probably some people in the Silicon Valley who did that, you know, Bill Gates will say, right? $10 million a month. Do you think $1 million is going to make any difference to you? No, you could probably survive on $9 million that month, right? How many Maseratis can you buy, right? So you have, God gives some individuals insane amounts of money, especially here in the Silicon Valley. There are, if you are receiving millions of dollars a month, and I know none of us are in this situation here, but I'm trying to give an example here, then 10% is meaningless. In that case, people who have $10 million a month are asked to give much more than 10%. To give until, you know, they provide more everything that everyone needs. Why does God give this to them? Because He expects them to be good stewards of what they have. So you say, well, what do I do? What should I do? This is something between you and God. But I ask you to think about it. Think about how you are praying. Have a conversation with God about your prayer life. Have a conversation with God about your fasting. Have a conversation with God about your almsgiving of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And ask Him how much you need to be giving back to Him. This is something between you and God. What do you do with it? You may determine that 1% of your income per month is what you feel God wants you to give back to Him. Fine. 1%. Maybe 0.5%. I don't know. Maybe it's 10%. Maybe you're making millions of dollars and it's 50%. Right? This is between you and God. But I want you to do is have that conversation with Him. Think about it. Don't go throughout life without thinking. And once you've determined what that is, then make a commitment to God. Just like you make a commitment with your prayer life. And you make a commitment, a decision, to regularly fast. You should make a decision to regularly give alms of your time, your treasure, and your talent. What do you do with it? Give it away to somebody. Go find someone on the street who needs some money. Go find a homeless shelter where there are poor people who are starving right now as we're talking. Find a needy family in the neighborhood. They're around. Maybe not on this side of the city. But wherever you live, find a needy family. I was just asked the other day if I knew of any needy families that needed some help. And this individual wanted to donate some money for it. I said, well, I can't think of anyone at the moment. Let me think about it. And I told this person I would present it to the church, let them know that if there is anybody who knows of any families who are in need, it may be yourself or maybe someone you know in your neighborhood or your family who could use a little help, let me know and I'll put this person in touch with them or with you. But you also think of these people who need help. Give some money to a charitable cause. Your homeless shelter, the poor in your neighborhood, something like that. And St. Elias could use some help too. As you know, St. Elias by now should own a big, beautiful church. If you go and look at all the churches that were founded back in the early 80s, and I know many of them, some in this very area, some that came from St. Elias, there are big, beautiful churches that glorify God and provide opportunity for the neighborhood to come to meet Jesus. Let's do that. Let's do that in the name of St. Elias for Jesus Christ. Now you, some of you here, have been here since the beginning. And you know the turmoil and the problems that have gone on since the beginning. But we're making some changes. We're moving in the right direction. And let's move in that direction today. And so in your almsgiving, remember not only the poor out in the street, but also remember, think about the future of St. Elias. What do you want St. Elias to be 10 years from now? For your children, your grandchildren, for the Silicon Valley. So that Jesus Christ may be glorified in all things. Let us turn our spirit, our bodies, and our minds to the Lord in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And let us glorify Jesus, who has been crucified on the cross and raised from the dead. And may He always be glorified with His eternal Father and His all-holy and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, into ages of ages. Amen.